Hi, I'm Heather Mulder.
And I'm Janice Greeno, and you're listening to Dementia Untangled, where we explore the topic of dementia through conversations with physicians, experts, and community leaders.
Our discussions focus on innovative ideas, practical strategies, and proven methods to guide caregivers along a supportive path.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Untangled. We are so happy you have joined us.
Today, our conversation is a celebration. We have just wrapped our fourth season of Dementia Untangled, and we're going to be revisiting some of our favorite moments.
And Heather, there have been so many favorite and inspirational moments in this season. And we are so grateful to our wonderful listeners for joining us, for subscribing, and for sharing the podcast. And we also deeply appreciate our outstanding and generous guests who have joined us. They have shared their personal journeys and so many powerful strategies on Dementia Untangled.
And today, as in our other revisited episodes, we've managed to coax our editor and producer, Amber, in front of the microphone to join our conversation. Welcome back, Amber.
Hey, welcome back, Amber.
Thanks, ladies. And hi to our listeners. I am excited to talk about season four. We can't believe it's been a year of planning, recording, producing, and growing this podcast. We just feel honored to be able to bring these conversations to our listeners, and we thrive on the supportive and constructive feedback that we receive. I think we're just hitting our stride.
And I'm also just so excited about the future.
I am too, Janice. I mean, I know we've shared a little bit about how this project started in our other revisited episodes, but I'm hoping we can dive a little deeper to untangle how we choose our topics and our speakers so that our listeners can feel more connected and supported by this program.
Well, it really is all about our listeners. And we have learned from our caregivers that they have typically a number of questions from some main categories, and those are typically needing caregiver support, seeking those clinical explanations about what's really going on, and there's cultural awareness that we need to be supportive of, and diversity, like our episode even this season about a special group, our caregivers that are sandwich generation caregivers, and people who are living the experience. We want to talk to people who are living through the dementia journey or have, and it is really an honor to have these conversations. I think that sometimes when we have topics like our cultural awareness, we have to remember that these topics may seem like they have a special niche or a niche if you're fancy, but they really could apply to anyone else that you know, to another situation that you're going through. And those actual episodes are not just about that particular culture, but they also apply to anyone's dementia journey. And we hope that you will listen to those as well and learn and be ready for whenever you need it, or whenever your family or friend or neighbor might need that episode.
I agree. We really work as a team to try to come up with unique topics that maybe at first blush don't seem like they would be applicable, but really listening, I find every single episode, I find something that I learn, I can take to heart, and I can apply in the future. Along with having these different categories of information, we really use our personal experiences to help shape our conversations. Amber, Janice, and I all spend time working with families, working with caregivers in different capacities. And we listen to their struggles. We listen to their feedback to help shape and guide our conversations. Our colleagues as well. I think Janice Amber and myself are in a unique position where we are embedded in these research institutions that also offer this outstanding clinical care, and just the access that we have to the experts. You know, it's not fair to keep that locked in these four walls. We really want to share that knowledge with the broader community.
I wholeheartedly agree, Heather, with so many unique perspectives and strategies. We are so fortunate in Family and Community Services to share so many helpful supports and resources out in the community.
So Janice, let's start with you. What were some of the standout episodes from season four?
A personally impactful conversation for me was with Dr. Matt Malone. And you may remember he's a geriatric psychiatrist and a formal medical director of hospice and palliative care, a physician and a dementia specialist with Banner Alzheimer's Institute. And he shared about palliative care in dementia. And he was even talking about the importance of getting to know a patient's fears and hopes, and the ways to reframe expectations in moving forward, and how palliative care can help caregivers and families as well. And we learned that palliative care has actually been called comfort care and is available throughout the whole disease progression. Why this was so impactful for me, because it was like a light bulb moment for me. In my own family, we had just found out that one of our dear friends who is living with dementia and is very far along in the progression of the disease, we just found out that she doesn't yet qualify for hospice, but is so in need of that comfort care. So after that episode, I called my mom right away and I let her know. I was like, Mom, we have to call palliative care. We have to get them connected with palliative care because there's help for them. And I've worked in healthcare for over 17 years. And this was still like a light bulb moment, a reminder for me that there is comfort care available and compassionate care that is available from medical providers and teams out in the community.
You know, Janice, I am always surprised at the new things we can learn with every conversation we have, because I think, you know, as embedded as we are in this community, it's kind of what's happening right in front of you is what highlights something for you. And it was like, sometimes these conversations or this information gets presented to you at just the right time, and you can plug it in. And I think that's just so helpful, especially with these podcasts being on demand. These topics are available when you need them, when it's important to you, when it's the resource that you've been searching for and didn't know where to look.
And Amber, you're so right. And I love that you can go back and listen to the episodes over and over whenever it's convenient for you, especially those episodes that are the most powerful in your life. And I've listened to this one actually a number of times.
I think you both bring up really good points about, first, the need to have information accessible and when it's relevant to you. Because I think Janice's story illustrates, you know, we have been in this field, we are aware of these resources, but it really took that moment to have that light bulb moment for her to remember that that service is even available. And I think too, even more specifically about this service, you know, palliative care really gets lumped in with hospice. So even people who are removed from aging, from Alzheimer's, maybe this is your first time, you know, learning about these supports that are available, often these two get lumped together and there's this misconception that it is for end of life. So I love having that conversation with him, understanding that palliative care is just much more broadly available and the importance of it being person-centered. Really getting to know, what does this patient want? What is important for them? Because I think families, a lot of times we make assumptions of what this person wants, and actually opening the door to the conversation sometimes surprises people.
Exactly. And when he talked about finding out what the patient's fears and the patient's hopes are in the journey, and then working with those and moving forward from there, it was absolutely powerful for me. But it's okay. Here's the other thing. It's so hard to pick favorites, Heather. I do have a few more. I hope I can share. Can I share a few more?
We'll see if they get edited out.
bring it on, Janice. Let's hear
okay.
it.
Okay. So Deanne Polis, she shared about sandwich caregiving, and she is actually a caregiver support group facilitator and someone who was a caregiver herself. And she said something, and I wrote it down. She said, "We tend to entangle ourselves." And she was talking about dementia untangled. We tend to entangle ourselves. We need to be less rigid, go with the flow, accept good enough, accept the help of loved ones around us, be flexible, and adjust. Like, wow. She said we need to let it go. And she said it doesn't have to be complicated. That one of her caregivers talked about how she would take a few moments to just go to her bedroom, sit on her chair with a special quilt. And that was her moment of self-care. So I loved that moment. And I loved having Lori Nissen back. We invited her back to be a guest this season because our listeners have really enjoyed her first conversation that she had with us. And it was titled, "Are They in Denial?" But she has such a wealth of knowledge and so many strategies. And this season, she shared about strategies to manage family conflict and not talking about dementia at these events, but the family dynamics and how these events like weddings and funerals and dementia can bring even more stress and can amplify the stress that, you know, people already feel when they are going through these huge family events.
Janice, I really liked these two episodes too. And there was something in common that they had that I pulled out from those conversations. And it was to be present. I think so often we're trying to manage or control situations and people and the things going on around us, and we forget to take the time to just be there. And once those moments are gone, they're gone. And so it was a really good reminder for me to focus on managing that stress so that I can just be there and enjoy it, and enjoy the time that I have with the people I love.
That's so good, Amber. And it's such a great reminder. And when we think about our families and how they're impacted and how we are impacted by dementia, being present is critical. And I loved how Dr. Gary Schmidt shared his personal story, and it was so powerful. And one of the things I loved that he shared about families is about how his family is so supportive.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback on what you're saying here, Janice, because I think family dynamics are, just like you said, so important to identify and understand. And it's whether your family is affected by dementia or not. You know, we hear a lot about roles that are filled or personality traits that are formed based on what order you were born or how many siblings you have, or, you know, even how many generations are living in the same home. And while some of those may ring true, I think a lot of who you are, the personality and belief system that you develop, is based on the people around you and the situation that you're in.
We often hear that when we're talking to caregivers. And I think even reflecting on different times in our own lives, we can relate to how your personality and how the roles you take on are shaped by the situation that you're in. Caregivers often find themselves doing things that they never thought they were going to do, from the daily tasks of cooking or driving when that was not traditionally their role, but now there's a need and they find themselves stepping into that role.
Yeah, absolutely. As people grow and change, their roles within a family do so as well. I mean, as the older sibling and oldest grandchild, I have often felt the need to advocate for those around me, just speak up and make sure that people are taken care of. And I think that's why I felt so seen when we talked to Dana Marie Kennedy about how to be an advocate on every level, because just that term advocate can seem a little intimidating if that role isn't one that you're used to. And what that conversation really got me thinking about was how someone may play that role, but if diagnosed with a dementia, they may be removed from that role and have to step out of that role, and someone else has to fill it for them. And I really started imagining that shift for a person and their family as this disease progresses.
And Amber, that shift can be so challenging.
And two, it reminds me of the project that we work on called To Whom I May Concern. Whether this person was an advocate for themselves in the past or not, once they're diagnosed with dementia, oftentimes that role is taken from them, whether they wanted it to be or not. Mm. And in this project, it's amazing to see these individuals who've been diagnosed find a way to tell their story, to own their story, and take pride in their story and become that advocate.
Exactly. That, of course, had me thinking about Gary Schmidt, our new Louis buddy, who so selflessly shared his experience with Louis body dementia with us. I mean, he was a doctor, a natural advocate for himself and his patients, who has had everything in his life change because of this disease. He has had to adjust his role within his family, his marriage, and because of the ways LBD has affected him, I was just so inspired by his candor and his ability to keep pushing forward with positivity and strength. Hearing about his personal experiences with the disease gives our listeners unique insight that their loved ones may not be able to share because of their own limitations.
His positivity and strength, you are so right. It was inspiring, impactful, powerful, all of those words. He talks about so many things that someone could actually learn about what might my person who's living with dementia be experiencing, but they can't voice it at this time. He is able to voice it. And through the program you were sharing about, Heather, it's so important for us to listen to people who are living with dementia and come alongside them as these roles and things do change.
I love these conversations with people who are living with the disease, because it's helping people to better understand the early stages of dementia. I remember a conversation with Roger Marple a couple seasons ago, who's living with dementia. And he kept saying that the common perspective when you hear dementia, where you hear Alzheimer's, he called it, you think of end of days. You think of the very late stages of the disease, and there is so much life to be lived, even if you have a diagnosis of dementia. And that's what I think these conversations with people who are living it every day bring forward. You guys can probably guess what my favorite episode was.
What? Tell us more.
My favorite conversation by far was our conversation with Grace Meadows, who is a music therapist, and talking about the power of music for dementia. I know I bring this up regularly, the impactful programs that we have for people with dementia and their care partners that are centered around music. Gary is able to tell his story. These individuals who are participants and to whom I may concern are learning how to voice their story, but music is a way that when words can start to fail because of this disease, music is a way that people can still have personal expression, still have connection. It's just hard to find words, ironically, hard to find words to convey the impact that music has.
And one of the things I love is during the pandemic, getting to be part of these virtual choirs and life enrichment activities and seeing those connections and the spark that happens when people are singing, especially songs that maybe are from their childhood or from their young teen years. It's amazing.
I think sometimes the thought of singing out loud in front of other people can be intimidating, but I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this, but everybody sounds good when they sing in a group.
Well, here's the other thing about the pandemic, Heather, and about doing it virtually. There's this lovely button called the mute button, and nobody has to hear you sing. You can sing your heart out. And when you're in person, though, you're right. It's wonderful how a group can come together and sound so amazing where they might not want to sing alone unless it's in the shower or with their mute button on.
I love these conversations about music because music is a big part of my life. I, you know, listen to it every day. And when we had this conversation with Grace, I wasn't a part of it. You know, I'm behind the scenes listening, and it really got me thinking about my grandfather who passed away a couple of years ago. And he was never a big fan of music. He would turn the radio off in the car. We'd, you know, be in the backyard barbecuing, wanting to listen to music. And he'd give you that look like, oh, turn it off. And as he got older and, you know, dementia progressed for him, he found this new interest in music, which kind of blew my mind, because to me, music is supposed to pull out these memories, but we didn't have that. So as we started listening to this music, he was requesting, you know, this German polka music and these things that we had never listened to together. I now realize that we were making these new memories with music. We weren't activating or accessing old memories. We were creating new ones. And I thought that was so special. And that conversation with Grace really helped me realize that.
And German polka music will forever connect you to your grandfather.
Forever and ever. Oktoberfest all the time.
I love hearing stories about your grandfather.
He was great. And it's so special to be able to take these conversations that we have with our guests and apply them to my own life experiences.
One of the things that Grace said that really stood out to me, and I think applies in this story too, is that everyone has a relationship with music. Whether you played an instrument in the past, whether you sang in a choir, or you were like Amber's grandfather and never you really wanted it on in the background, there's something that you're connected to. He loved that German polka music for a reason, because it connected him to something. So this is something that can touch absolutely everyone. And we can really learn a lot about a person by learning their musical history. In these conversations, we always like to learn a little bit more about the people that we're talking to. So Amber, Janice, I'm going to put you on the spot, but I'll put myself out there first. When I think of songs that have been really important in my life, one that came to mind was The Devil Went Down to Georgia by the Charlie's Annuals Band. You may be familiar with it. Devil Went Down to Georgia. It's looking for a soul to steal.
No, keep singing more.
Sing it, Heather.
Well, you know, you're asking me to sing it is ironic, because something surprising, or maybe not so surprising, is that in a past life, I was a karaoke queen. I actually DJed karaoke, and this was one of my songs, one of my signature songs that I would sing when we were out doing karaoke. And so just giving you that little bit of information about me can tell you so much, you know, that I used to perform, I love to sing the type of music that may connect with me. So just by learning one little nugget about music opens up a whole window into who this person is. Who's up next?
Amber, you should go.
Yeah, I'll go. my story is a little less inspirational, but you may enjoy it anyway. So my very first car was a anniversary year Mustang, and I thought I was just about the coolest with this car.
I guess.
Right? Rolling around 16 years old, like all eyes on me, check me out. And so I decided to hook up these big truck box speakers, no subwoofer, but these big speakers, and blast music loud. And one of my favorite things to do was roll up to the Little League park where my brother was having a baseball game in my cool car blasting music. And one of my favorite songs to do that with was The Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but it's quite the banger. And every time I hear that song, I laugh because I am reminded of how cool I thought I was rolling up to the Little League park with my 90s hip hop blasting. Yeah, that's that song will always make me laugh.
Oh, it's so funny. I'm thinking back to all kinds of songs that just take me back to high school. And it's so weird how they can just take you back and all of a sudden you can remember exactly where you were, like what the buildings looked like, what the weather was like, sometimes even what smells were happening if it's like in your home or something. Music is so powerful.
So Janice, what's your song?
Oh, you know, I shared a little bit about flashbacks to high school, and I love all sorts of genres of music, and I especially love happy music that can come along and be your friend and take you on a quick little walk when you're out exercising or whatever. But this pandemic season for my family, like many families, it's been rough, and we've lost some very, very dear family members, including both of my grandparents, and I was very close to them. And a song that is near and dear to my heart, and it brings me comfort and hope, is Amazing Grace. And I have been so inspired to hear that song and to see that it really meets people where they are in the midst of really, really hard and challenging days. And it does bring so much comfort and hope.
That song is so iconic, and I'm sure we've all heard it. I mean, how many different versions could there be mm-hmm. of that song? And every single one, just, it makes you feel the same way. There's pride, there's warmth, mm-hmm. Just so many emotions in a song like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what Grace referred to that as?
I don't. Is this a test too?
she called it a musical hug.
Oh,
I had forgotten that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's a musical hug. That's what that song is. And boy, have we needed a musical hug these last couple years.
And, you know, she talked about the array of benefits that you can get from listening to, participating in music. And one of them that she mentioned was mental health. And we've referenced it a couple times, this pandemic over the past couple years, music has the ability to turn to meet us where we are and give us that musical hug that we need, or it has the ability to transport us somewhere else. You know, I think of those concerts that we saw very early on in the pandemic, where people were standing on their balconies outside of apartment buildings. And every day at a certain time, a violinist would come out and play a few songs. And it was just a way to bring community together, to transport you to somewhere else. And for those few moments, forget that you're living within these four walls because of a global pandemic.
I think it was easy to feel isolated and divided. And to have something like that bring people together, create this connection, it was so simple, but just invaluable.
A powerful way to reduce social isolation, to build community connection, and to strengthen the empathy that we feel for one another, all through music.
Another piece that she brought forward is that music is an expression of self and of emotion. She said, when words are too much, not enough, or not available, music can help us process. And that really makes me think about playing piano. I have a piano in my home. I took lessons all growing up. And I find I go through waves of playing it. I can go months or even years without touching it. And then I'll play it for weeks or months on end. Every day I'll sit down at the piano. And when I reflect on when that time is, it's times of high stress, when I'm trying to figure out how to process something that's going on in my life. I can sit down at the piano and just let those emotions kind of flow through me. And I don't need words to be able to express them.
You know, there are two things that never fail to bring tears to my eyes. And that's a video of a military homecoming or a video of someone using music to help someone with dementia connect. Mm-hmm. Both of those visualizations are just so, so powerful. And I love seeing those on social media and on the internet. And if, you know, please share those when you see them, because they can really make someone's day.
Well, Janice and Amber, thanks for playing along and sharing a little bit more about important songs from your life, helping our listeners learn a little bit more about you. And to our listeners, I'd encourage you to reflect for yourself, reflect for your person, and definitely check out this episode. Grace was a storyteller that not only talked about the power of music, but utilized the power of words to tell her story.
I think that we could just go on and on about our favorite moments from this season. But most of all, we are just so thankful for you, our listeners, and that you have joined us.
And guess what, ladies? Season 5 of Dementia Untangled is coming soon. So listeners, make sure to subscribe on your favorite platform, and that way you won't miss any of our new episodes.
We have a great group of guests planned for you.
Thank you again to our inspiring guests from Season 4. To my co-host, Janice Greeno, and our producer, editor, Amber Ayers. And our biggest thanks to you, our listeners.
And remember, we'd love to hear from you at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com. Please share your feedback. And thanks to those who have already reached out to us. We are so grateful for you.
Join us next season for more Dementia Untangled.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Dementia Untangled. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dementia Untangled is hosted by Heather Mulder and Janice Greeno, produced and edited by Amber Ayers, and is brought to you by Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. We are supported by generous donations to the Banner Alzheimer's Foundation.
Please visit our website at banneralz.org and follow us on Facebook to learn about upcoming events. If you have questions or comments, please email us at dementiaUntangled@bannerhealth.com.